Our scripture today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Well, good morning. This is a fascinating scripture that was just read for us. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossians. It's a good church. It's a good church. And Paul sometimes has to write letters to churches and kind of fuss at them and try to correct their actions. In this case, these people are doing some good work, and he's really trying to teach them some profound things. And as we look at this scripture today, in Colossians chapter 3, there are two ways to approach this. There are two ways to focus on this scripture, I think. One of them is very easy, and one is much more difficult. The easy way, I could talk about that, and you would leave here today, and everyone would easily understand what we've talked about. The problem is, if we look at it the easy way, it causes problems down the line, because life is complicated. And sometimes if we look at scripture the easy way, we put complications of life make it quite difficult. On the other hand, if we look at it the very difficult way, it might be hard to explain. And it might be hard to understand. And yet if we get it, if we start to glimpse what Paul is saying on a deep level in this scripture, then it applies a lot better to our life. So today, I'm going to do both. I'm going to let you see the easy way and the difficult way. Because one way, the Apostle Paul talks about some things that we all kind of know. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, and idolatry. He goes on to say that we need to put things aside, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips, and don't lie to each other. So he tells us in pretty simple ways, be good. Do good stuff. Don't do bad stuff. Now, if you're a decent human being, if someone raised you in any kind of decent home, and listen, let me tell you, everyone comes from a messed up family. That's just reality. Everybody has crazy families. And so no family is perfect, but if anyone raised you to be halfway decent, if you've had any good influences in your life, if you're even trying to be a decent person, and I think it's pretty safe to assume that you are because you're here, you're listening to all of this, if you're trying to be a decent person, then you know this. Now, it might be more difficult to apply it all the time, to always be good, to always do the right thing, but we know this. We know the things the Apostle Paul is teaching here on a very easy level. It's easy to understand that. Don't do bad stuff. Do good stuff. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to how you live your life. Don't just do what everybody else does. Don't just do what you see happening around you. Just because everyone else is doing things doesn't make it right. And so pay attention and listen to God and be a good person. Do the right stuff and don't do the wrong stuff. Everyone understands that, right? That's easy to understand. Now, we've all made mistakes. None of us are perfect. We've messed up along the way. But we know that. It's very easy to understand. And we can all go from here today, having read this scripture, and know that we need to apply it. And there may be some things that you could think about right now, and you think, oh, no, I've not really been good in this particular area. I know I'm not doing the right thing in this particular area of my life. And it would be very easy to make a commitment right now in your own mind, in your own heart, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better than I've been doing. I want to pay attention. And I'm just going to do better than I was doing before. And that would be a good day. That would be a good day as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, to make that decision, whatever area it is in our life, and we all have areas in which we struggle, to say, I hear what the Apostle Paul is saying. I hear that we need to put some stuff aside. And if there's something that you know in your life, you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to confess this. It's just between you and God. You confess it just to God. I'm going to do better. I'm going to hear what the Apostle Paul is teaching. I'm going to put aside the things that I know don't need to be there, and I'm going to do better. That's easy. Not easy to always do. Easy to understand. Easy to understand as a follower of Jesus, we need to be good people, and we need to avoid doing bad things. And though we may struggle with that at times, we can always renew our commitment to that every day to evaluate through the Spirit what's happening in my life that needs to be better. What area of my life do I need to improve? And through the Spirit of God, we do that. Easy to understand. Harder to apply sometimes, but an easy way to approach the Scripture. But the Apostle Paul isn't just saying that. As he writes this scripture, he writes this letter to the Colossians, he's not just saying be good, to do good things and avoid bad things. He is saying that, but he says something much more difficult to understand. He writes, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Wait, what? You died. He says you died. You died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. Now, since we're all alive at the particular moment, that's a little bit more difficult to understand. You died, he says. The reason he says you can put aside all that stuff, all those bad things, to live a different life, that all that sin can be put aside, is that you died. All that stuff's dead. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? It's not just here he writes that. In Romans chapter 6, we read this to begin our service today. The Apostle Paul writes, for we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live in him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. This is more difficult. It's more profound to understand, but it makes a huge difference in life. Because who among us hasn't tried to do better? We've tried, haven't we? And sometimes we've been successful, and sometimes we haven't. We know we need to be good people. And most of the time we are, hopefully. And sometimes we fail. And sometimes we're disappointed in ourselves. Sometimes we hurt ourselves, we hurt others. We mess up our life doing dumb things because we're just trying to do better. We're trying and trying and trying to do better, and yet that's a frustrating life. It's easy to understand we need to be good people. It's easy to understand we need to stop doing bad things. But in the complicated, very difficult, fallen world we live in, that's really hard to do. It is really difficult to always make the right choices, to always do the right thing, to pick yourself up and drive yourself to be exactly the person you need to be. That gets complex. And yet the Apostle Paul is teaching in multiple places, the New Testament teaches us, it's not up to you. It's not your life. We have died with Christ. It's Christ that lives in us, and we are not good people because we can always make right choices and through determination and willpower always be good. We are good people because our life itself is in Jesus. This is the hard part to understand, but it's what the New Testament teaches in multiple places, that when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die just as a man being a martyr. There are lots of people that died for the cause. Peter, James, John, Paul, lots of people, lots of the followers of Jesus died as martyrs. They gave up their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Every culture has had people that would die for a cause bigger than themselves. Throughout the world, throughout history, we have had so many people that would lay down their life for a cause bigger than themselves, lay down their life for others, be persecuted, and even die for a cause that was important, particularly the cause of Jesus Christ. We've had many, many, many people through history that would lay down their life for Christ or lay down their life for their country or for their family or for their neighbors. We've had people that would do that, and all that is to be admired. But Jesus was not just a martyr. He was not just one who laid down his life for a cause. He was not one that was just killed for doing the right thing. He was more than that. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a supernatural act. It was something more than just a man dying. It was a supernatural act that the sin of the world was on Jesus. And when Jesus died, the sin of the world died with him. We, as followers of Jesus, our humanness, our sin died on the cross with Jesus. That's not something we can figure up like a math problem. That's not something that has a neat equation. That is something beyond human reasoning. But that's why the Apostle Paul can tell us, you died. You're a follower of Jesus. You died. You died with Jesus. The sin of your life died with Jesus. The power of sin in this world died with Jesus. All the frailties and all the stuff that we live with in this world is dead. Our sin died with him. And when he rose from the dead, it was more than Jesus, the man Jesus rising from the dead, as miraculous as that is. It was more than that. Our life rose with him. And we live a resurrected life in Jesus Christ. So the power to overcome all those weaknesses and all those struggles and all those things of life doesn't come through our willpower. That's why we fail so often. It's because we try really hard, but we fail because we are so weak. We are not meant to overcome sin in our own, on our own. If we could do that, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. It was more than Jesus just laying down his life as a martyr. It was a supernatural act of the sin that we live with. The sin in our life died with Jesus. Our life as human beings died with Jesus. And the life that we live as his followers is a resurrected life. So, if we have sin in our life, if there is sin, it is because we give our life to it. Sin is dead. It is dead. You see it everywhere, but it's dead. And the reason you see it everywhere is because we don't understand the very difficult parts of Scripture. Sometimes we look at it in the easy way where it says, be good, don't be bad. But when we look deeper than that, we see sin is dead. It died. Our life as sinful human beings died with Jesus. And the life we live now is a resurrected life in the Spirit of God. There's power in that. There is power to have new life in that. But so many times we have overlooked the power of that because we take the simple approach of saying, okay, I need to do good. I need to stop being bad. And we try to apply our willpower, which is very weak, and the world overwhelms us. And so in our ignorance, in our weakness, in our trying to be simple in our Christian life, we just try to be good and then we fail over and over again. And we reassure ourselves that, well, I'm only human. And in ignorance and maybe rebellion, but I think for a lot of good people, we don't mean to be rebellious. We just don't know the life we're actually called to live. We've been taught in a very simple way, do good, don't do bad. And at some point we say, how? How do I do this? Well, you can't. But God can, because God's already killed that sin. It is already dead. It died with Jesus, and we rose with him. These are all supernatural things beyond our human comprehension. That's what faith is, that we on faith begin to understand something that doesn't add up like a math problem, that is more complex than be good, don't be bad. Those things make sense on a human level. When we start to understand on a spiritual level, we see that Jesus did something so profound in his death that sin is dead. And in his resurrection, the sin stayed dead, and we have a new life, new spirit in Jesus Christ, that we do not have to be slaves to the things in our life that would enslave us. It seems awfully powerful. The sin that we have in our life, the struggles in our life, it seems so powerful. And we see sin everywhere, but the Bible tells us it is dead. And the only reason it still has life is because we give our life to it. Because sometimes we just don't know any better. And maybe sometimes we do know better and we do it anyway. That we give our life to it. We give our energy to it. Rather than what the Apostle Paul said, set your mind on things above, set your mind on Jesus, and understand that the very power of Jesus Christ himself is in your life, and the sin, as powerful as it seems, in this world is dead. It died with Jesus. It has no power. It has no life except the life we give to it. But how many times do we think, I can't overcome this? Everyone else is doing these things, so who am I to think I could be better than that? Who am I to think that I could overcome this? Look how many people struggle in the world. Am I really supposed to be unique? Yeah. As Christians, we are unique. As followers of Jesus, we have an understanding that goes beyond just do your best. It is that we are a spiritual people risen in Jesus, that our minds, our hearts can be set on things above. Now, this won't necessarily happen immediately. Even if you get it, even if you understand that the Bible is teaching us that sin is dead, and the only thing that gives it life is when we give our life to it, whether it's a choice we make or whether in ignorance we just think we have no choice. If we begin to understand that, it still won't happen necessarily overnight, but it does happen as we walk with God. The very fancy theological term for that is sanctification. Sanctification. It means that God is in the process of making us exactly what he created us to be. Exactly what he imagines us to be when he created us. And God has a great imagination. When he created us, and he created us on purpose, each one of us, he created specifically on purpose, God imagined exactly what we could be. He had a beautiful picture of exactly what we could be in this life. And that's what he created. Now, in this fallen world, in this sinful world, in our ignorance, in our mistakes, in our rebellion, a lot of that image gets messed up. A lot of that image gets messed up. And when we look at ourselves, sometimes we don't look so good. Sometimes we're not proud of the life we lived. God still sees what God created. God still sees the beautiful image that God created for us to be. and he's willing to work with us. He doesn't say that we have to just grit our teeth and pick ourselves up and be strong enough to do exactly right. He says, I'll work with you. I'll make you better. And if it takes time, okay. One of the things that we need to understand is that God loves us, every one of us, exactly as we are, no matter how messed up we are. But he loves us too much to leave us like we are. And that's the purpose of sanctification, of moving past just our willpower to be good people and understanding that the chains and the oppression of sin in our life, that destructive stuff that we have in our life that mess us up and hurt other people, that stuff's dead. Jesus already took that to the grave, and we live a new life in the Spirit. And that is such a profound thing, we're not going to necessarily be able to live into that instantly. God still loves us. That's okay. But he'll work with us. He'll work with us every day if we'll let him. If we will pray, if we will read the scriptures, if we will be in touch with God, he will work with us, and he will teach us exactly what it means that sin is dead. It does not have a hold of us. It may feel like it, but it doesn't. That we have given our life to it, sometimes not knowing any better, and sometimes because we choose to. We give our life to it, and we give life to that sin that Jesus killed, took to the grave on the cross. These are all supernatural acts of Jesus, and that's what sanctification is the process, that daily process of being the person that God created us to be. And so you can understand the scriptures on a simple level. Be good. Don't be bad. And that will take you so far. As good people, as determined people, people of willpower, we can live that out to a pretty good level. But we all know that we have our struggles, that our willpower is weak at times, that sometimes, as hard as we may try, we are not the person God created us to be. And God says, that's okay, I've already taken care of that. Then in the death and resurrection of Jesus, all that stuff is dead. That we died and we are risen with Jesus. And in that resurrected life, we have the very power of Christ in our life. And if it takes a while for us to live into that, that's okay. That's the process of sanctification. God will work with us. The question is, will we work with God? Will we allow him to work in our spirit every day to overcome the struggles of our life, to make us be the person God created us to be? Will we live that spiritual life, or we just take the simple approach of, I'll just try to be a good person. I'll try not to be bad. I'll just try to do the best I can. Doing the best I can might be okay, but I can't create the very image of God. God does. And God has made a way for us through the process of sanctification to be the very spirit image of God. And that's a beautiful thing. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you have done more than instruct us to be good and to avoid being bad. Of course you want us to do that. But you have made that actually possible. That you died on that cross and our sin died with you. Our human life died with you, and we as your followers rise with you in a spiritual life. Lord, that's more than we can comprehend, but we see it taught in your scriptures, so help us in our spirit to experience it. Lord, in this place, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.